Today, I am very pleased to have psychologist Paul Marsden joining me for a chat. Hi, Paul. How are you?
Hello, Mary. How are you?
I'm great. Nice to
have you down here.
Great. So today we're going to talk about stress. It was relatively unknown years ago, but now young and old all suffer periods of stress at some point in their life. So we hear a lot about stress, as I said, but what exactly is it?
Well, you're right. We hear a lot about it. And one thing about stress is it gets a very, very bad press, because we all need a bit of stress, and not all stress is bad by any means. So we all need a bit to get us up and going and doing things. And we all need that. When the stress becomes just unbearable or unmanageable, that's when it starts to damage us. And look at it like this. We all have inside ourselves a bag of tricks, a bag of resources that we have to deal with demands coming in all the time.
Yeah.
And we have constant demands from family, from work, from the bank, from the electricity people. We've got these demands and demands and demands all the time. And you have this bag of tricks inside to help you cope with that. And the moment you feel that that bag of tricks inside is not sufficient to cope with the level of demands coming in, that's when you'll start to feel this thing we call stress.
Yeah.
So it's a balance between those things. But we can often actually fool ourselves, because sometimes our bag of tricks is stronger than we think. And
right.
People will say to you, I never thought I could handle that, but I did. I handled it okay, I was fine. So we can have more resources than we think we have inside there. But
yeah.
We have that delicate balance between resources inside and the demands coming in. And we always have these demands. They'll never go away.
Yeah, I suppose part of it is then is that we get stressed thinking we can't deal with the stress, and that creates more stress. So it's a kind of a vicious
Absolutely,
circle.
Yeah. Of course, because the way we think about it and perceive it and explain it to ourselves, that has a huge impact on the way it impacts on us.
Yeah.
And if we just think, oh, I never handle this, I can't do that, I'll never cope with that, that does take away straight away from our ability to handle different things. There's a thing in psychology called self-efficacy, and that belief that you can do things. If you believe, yeah, okay, I could do this, I might need to get some help, but I can handle this and I can deal with it, I need to ask help from her or from him, but I can get this, I can do this. And that belief helps you to go and do something.
Yeah.
Whereas that thing of, oh, I'd never do that, I'd never handle that, that would take away straight away from the ability to do stuff.
Right.
So the way you think, you're right, the way you think about it is very important. The way you explain it to yourself, the way you talk to yourself is very important also.
Yeah.
And inside in your mind.
And it's like I said, the thoughts create more stress if you don't control them.
Yeah, absolutely. And some people have a very negative thought set inside their minds, and everything is kind of very pessimistic with them. And you ask them, how are you today? And you'll hear this, oh, I'm not too bad.
Yeah.
And they always say to people, I didn't ask you how bad you were. I asked you how you were, not how bad you were. So if we go searching for the bad all the time, we'll find loads of bad, even more bad, you know. So people, when they work with me, they begin to realize that they can't say that. See, how do things go well during the week? Because, see, we have also things in our life that are going really, really well.
They are, yeah.
We're healthy. We have enough money to survive. We can buy food. We have things going well for us. And we can often forget all that kind of stuff and focus just on what's not there. Just focus on the problems. But you have these good things in parallel, reality-based things really happening. People love you, your family, your friends, you have a nice, happy dog who loves you, all these little things. You have a bit of good weather some days, you have some nice things happening, you find a nice parking space, all these little things help, and they're positive, good things. And it's nice to look at those sometimes. It's right, in parallel with my problems, I have these good things happening as well. And so a good balance on those things is very, very important.
Yeah, because I think we do tend to focus on the negative instead of, I know this thing of being grateful is very important too. Being grateful for the small things. It's like you have a house, you have a roof over your head, it's warm, your children are healthy, very important.
Yeah.
And maybe
and
we need.
It's amazing how fast we can forget those things.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Completely forget them. And nothing exists, only the problem. That problem, that awkward person, that deadline coming in, that difficult thing we have to deal with, that becomes all of our big, big focus.
Yeah.
We forget those good things happening. And that's a vital skill to have for resilience and building that skill to bounce back from these things.
That's
a very important skill to have.
So, Paul, is all stress bad?
No, it's not. We need a certain amount, as I said, to get us up and get us going, get us doing things. We need certain demands from people, from our workplace, from our family and friends. And I'm sure you had demands yourself already today from people.
I did.
And that helps you to get up and do things and do certain. If we had no demands at all coming in and nothing to do, it'd be a very, very boring kind of life. So we need certain demands coming in. But as I said before, when those demands become unbearable, we think we can't deal with the volume coming at us, that we start to feel this thing called stress.
Yeah.
And it affects us in all sorts of different ways. We have the initial thing, like kind of butterflies in the stomach thing, the heartbeat, that sort of stuff can start straight away. And then in more long-term, things can become like tension, headaches, and sore neck and shoulders and type of thing, into then sleeping, not sleeping properly is an important one, and not eating properly. And this type of thing can happen again. So it can take on a physical thing in our life, and you kind of race around, you kind of forget things, you sort of stuff, you can get very muzzled in the way you think. You try and do 4 or 5, 6, 10 things at the same time and doing nothing, all that kind of stuff begins to happen when stress takes over, or when your belief that you can't handle these things begins to take over. And you can tackle those things one by one with people. I've done that with a lot of people over the years.
Yeah, because definitely there you're saying it, if you're not eating or sleeping right, and that's only making the stress worse.
Well, absolutely. You're in no fit state, you know, physical, fit, mental, emotional state to actually handle stress coming at you. You haven't eaten properly, haven't slept properly. It's like the whole self-care thing is really important, that we take that time for ourselves and take care of ourselves every day as a balance against the stuff coming in.
Definitely.
I was doing it to a group yesterday, and they said, oh no, when you say take time for yourself, that's terribly selfish. I know, even just 5 minutes, having a cup of coffee that you really enjoy, sitting down, taking a breath, having that nice cup of coffee and really relaxing and enjoying that cup of coffee, and that charges you up then to head off and do the next thing you need to do.
Yeah.
And that little time for yourself every so often during the day is really important.
Yeah.
Not going off an ivory tower for 6 years, like, and not leaving that, not that kind of stuff, that selfish thing. No, it's just have that moment for yourself. Fence off some time for yourself every day to recharge yourself.
No.
That's really, really vital.
Oh, I totally agree with you, because if someone hasn't got 5 minutes in the day for themselves, I mean, it's a pretty poor life.
Yeah, and you
Isn't
often
it?
Hear that. You often hear that from people. I haven't got 5 minutes. I can't even. I say, well, like, you have to go to the bathroom from time to time, don't you, during the day?
At least
exactly. You have 5 minutes. But that might be your one time just to take a breath, relax, and back out again. If you have to do it like that, then do it like that. But take that moment just for yourself.
Yeah, very important.
We tend to multitask. See people there with mobile phones, they're doing all the stuff, they're reading something, they're planning something else. So there's 15 different things happening at the same time.
Yeah.
And the mind never gets a chance to sit down and just calm down a bit and face the next thing coming at you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So what are the main sources of stress?
Well, we tend to break them into two categories, of the external and the internal. And just kind of very briefly, external things would be like, say the way people talk to you. So the interaction with people, the way they talk to you, the way they don't talk to you, the tone of voice to you, this kind of thing. And that stuff can add into stress straight away. The environment you're in, where you live or where you work, if it's too hot or cold or small or big or whatever it is.
Yeah, or noisy, or neighbours and something like that.
Yeah, huge things. Organisational things. Say if you work in a place, you often wonder, I sometimes think that in most places I go in to do some work in, what I call the complication committee.
Mm.
And they sit up very late at night and think of really complicated ways to do otherwise quite simple things, but seriously complicated procedures for doing very simple little things. And you wonder, is that complicated? Is that awful for people? That has more stresses on. And the daily hassle of, like, finding your keys before you leave the house in the morning, or did you have to lock the back door, all this kind of stuff. So I find the parking place when I get to work and all this stuff, but I find what I want in the supermarket when I get there. All little daily things. And they can eat away at this thing, at this kind of calmness inside yourself. Then the internal stuff we mentioned before was just the way we talk to ourselves.
Right.
That kind of negative self-talk. We can be very negative and can berate ourselves unnecessarily inside our own minds. Over the course, you should have done that, or you silly twist, you said this, or that. It's kind of berating ourselves. That doesn't help us handle the next demand coming in.
No,
getting
it
a handle on that and changing that is important. I'm sure you come across that. Quite negative.
It's that perfectionism.
The perfectionistic thing as well, it has to be exactly perfectly right. Well, does it have to be? I know we can't be sloppy, but can we just not have every single thing to be 110% perfect kind of thing? You know, we can just be slack every so often. There's no
It's important to do your best, but not to kill yourself at it, because otherwise you're spoiling every experience.
You are, absolutely, yes. And then you're no good then for anybody else who needs your help with something.
No, absolutely
So that's sort of personality type stuff as well. People can be more anxious, more perfectionistic, more worrisome kind of people. And those are more on edge all the time. And they get much more prone to stress. And that can be helped. You can reverse that and change that over time by doing certain things.
So some people are more prone to stress, you're saying,
Oh, they are. Yeah, they are. Yeah. And they can learn to be like that. Like, we haven't got a stress gene as much, but you can become that way from people, say, around you who are very worried and stressed. You can pick up that kind of thing. Like, say you go to a big supermarket, say, at Christmas Eve, you'll see the stress on people's faces in there, running around shopping trolleys.
Yeah.
And they look out of their heads with stress. You could actually wonder, well, am I doing something wrong? Have I missed something? You start to wonder yourself, have I forgotten something? So you almost absorb the stress yourself. So it can be contagious, like a flu. You know, you can absorb this kind of stuff.
Yeah, it spreads.
Oh, yeah, it can, of course. I imagine a whole work team or family can get very, very stressed, and worry kind of thing can kick in there unnecessarily in a lot of cases.
Yeah, it's even like in a workplace, if the boss is stressed or they're unorganised and they're stressed, then that flows down to the people who report into them.
Straight away. Oh,
and
yeah,
it's not good for anybody.
Yeah. No, I see it in teams and places I'm working in quite a bit in organisations. we have, say, a manager under a lot of stress, a lot of pressure, he or she wouldn't have any time to be pleasant to the staff of the team, or the members of the team wouldn't have a chance to give a compliment to them. But the way you handled that customer there was very good. You handled that thing really well. Well yeah. done there. No time to say that kind of stuff. And that, again, breeds more stress on the part of the people who
are
there.
Of course it does.
And get very angry towards this particular manager, particular team leaders. So it has huge effects, and it's contagious and can spill down through the layers and levels in any organisation. Even the family is the very, very same thing.
Oh, yeah, it spreads out into the family then, because the person goes home in the evening and they're stressed they're kind of ratty with their children, and it's horrible, but it's definitely something that's contagious.
Oh, yeah, it can be, yeah, have huge effects like that. But we can change it. Let's not depress the people too much. We can change this thing.
Yeah.
We can build this thing we call resilience.
Right.
This bounce back ability that we all have. And we've all had kind of stressful things and these disappointments and failures, and things didn't go where you want them to go, or something that really, really upset you.
Yeah.
And some, it might have knocked you off your perch. You'll hear that phrase from people: I was really knocked when that happened to me. I was really knocked off my perch when that happened to me. And there's a sense of not being yourself. You often hear that. I wasn't myself when that happened to me. And then you hear language around, then I came back to myself slowly. And so there's an awareness of people not being themselves and then coming back to themselves. And some people might say, well, he never came back to himself fully when that happened to him.
That's
right.
Never
the same after. So we have a sense of people not being themselves and getting back to themselves. And that's coming back to yourself bit. That's what resilience is all about.
Yeah,
we cultivate that and grow that in ourselves. From a very, very young age, sadly, we have these things happening to us.
Yeah.
And a few things we can do. Like, resilient people are very open to new ideas. They're always learning new things. And you find them in libraries and studying things and going on tours and trips and this kind of thing here and there. They have a balance on their life between the things that are demanding things from them. They have time then for themselves. So they have time for other people and time for themselves and time doing physical things and then time doing relaxing things, whether they're reading something. So they have a good balance on things.
Oh, balance is right.
And we can develop that kind of thing. Anybody coming to me for help will always have something out of kilter, out of balance. Right? They're working too much, not playing enough, or playing too much and not working enough. There's always something out of balance.
Mm.
You look at all the other medicines, the Ayurvedic medicine in India and the Chinese medicine, it's all about balance
between
eating and drinking and the kind of thing. You get good balance on that, and to stress that really big time, the whole balance type stuff. It's very, very same with ourselves here.
Right.
So good balance on things is important, very, very important.
And finally, how can we get a better night's sleep? Because sleep, I think, it's underestimated. It's the foundation of your health, really. Because if you don't sleep, you're not going to be able to do anything else.
Yeah, we're seeing now just how people who don't sleep well can be prone to all sorts of physical things, all sorts of heart disease, all sorts of stuff over the years as this happens to them. So it can have a huge toll on your health in all sorts of ways. And we know when you haven't slept properly for a night or two, and that often happens to us all when we have a worry or something happening, or you lose a night or two, or you're away somewhere and the room is very strange and you can't sleep and you're kind of not on fire in all cylinders after that. But you come back to yourself okay after that. But sometimes worries and stress and all can affect your sleep over a long period of time, and that's not really good.
No.
And so we can start to do things. One of the fundamental things we possibly can do this, and the research shows this over and over again, you can regularize your sleeping pattern. And by that I mean if you can get to bed at the same time and get up at the same time each morning and keep that pattern going even at weekends. Now I know straight away people on shift work will be affected by that, people with young children. But if you can build that in at all, that greatly enhances your sleep.
Oh, it does, because I'm an advocate for that myself.
Oh, yeah.
I always do it.
Once your body attunes to that, it's really, really brilliant. You go to the same time, up at the same time. I'm doing that myself as well. It really adds to the quality of my sleep over here. And I know people can't do that. Say a very young kid might be well and all sorts of happening. So you really can't be sleeping when you want to be. But as soon as you can, build that.
Yeah, as soon as you can. And it's important then that flows down to the child as well, because if they get them trying to a healthy sleep and have to go to bed at a certain time. Because I know myself, I know what time I go to bed at. It's fairly early. And I can even see an hour beforehand that my body is getting a little bit tired. It's winding down because it knows you're going to go to bed, which is good.
Yeah, that's really good. To know when your body's winding down is very important. And that's the next thing we're going to talk about. Just watch your smartphone and your laptop and these
blue
tablets
light.
And things. And keep well away from those. The experts say about 45 minutes. Turn it off, put it away, and within that 40 minutes, your body's got to wind down from that, because the screens on those things light our brains up too much.
That's right,
delay the onset of various chemicals associated with the onset of sleep. And so you can stop yourself from sleeping. Just the last minute, just check my emails before I go to sleep. But you'll be awake for a further 45 minutes if you do that.
And then
just put it away, forget about it, and that can really enhance your sleep greatly.
Because then if you read an email and it annoys you, you're angry with it, then you're all hyped up for another couple of hours and you mightn't sleep at all.
It'll still be there in the morning, and it'll still be as fresh in the morning as well as the night before. So read it the next morning and get a good night's sleep.
Yeah.
Those are two very important things. And also some research from the UK, the US, there last year came in about having the power of lists. Lists are very, very powerful. If you've got worries or things you're concerned about, this guy would say, have a little bit of paper with a pen beside the bed and write down your three or four things that you're planning to do tomorrow that are on your mind. Put the paper away, put it in a drawer, put it away somewhere, put a pen away, and those people tend to fall asleep on average 9 minutes faster than people who don't do that.
Yeah.
Right? So, because it externalizes that straight, it's out of your head, it's onto a page separate from you.
Exactly.
You put it away and sleep.
Oh, that's
a
brilliant idea.
More detailed lists fall asleep on average 15 minutes faster.
Yeah.
A few more words on around each wording you have. And so the lists are a very, very powerful way to do that kind of thing as well.
Brilliant.
But there's, and of course you watch tea, coffee, watch food, not too late, this type of stuff. But just keep the sleep pattern as regular as you possibly can.
You
want to be at 11 o'clock one night and 2 o'clock in the morning the next night and then 8 o'clock the night after. That raggedy thing, that doesn't help you sleep at all.
No.
You have a good balanced sleep pattern. That's a really important one.
That's great. Well, thank you very much, Paul, for taking the time to speak to us today. And
there's some brilliant
advice. Okay. Some people might think sleep is obvious. It's not. They're doing things that are wrong, and like maybe on their phones, whatever, and they're not realising that's impacting their sleep.
Yeah.
So if they can take away from away one good thing from our chat today, their life will improve.
Exactly.
It's great.
It will.
Thank you very much, Paul.
Okay, Mary.
It's lovely to talk to you. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Bye now.